Brother Joe said the choir has been working on this for a month. He missed that by a couple of months. We've been working on this since January. I have to say just one thing and then we'll move forward. Pastor Quinn would be very happy this morning. Now listen, we are not coming here this morning to do a presentation to you. We are here to sing and to worship a risen Savior this morning. And I've told this choir, if you feel led to worship, you just worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Because if you just sit there and listen and you don't get something out of this, we have missed our mark this morning. This music that we're going to do for you this morning is based on the Lord's Prayer. It's called The Kingdom, the Power, and the Glory. I want you to pray, I want you to be ministered to, and I want you to worship as we sing this for you this morning.
Love's redeeming work is done.
God the Father, the Eternal One, has made the world right through His Son, Jesus the Messiah.
Image of the invisible God.
Living Word.
Just 3 days passed, and this living Word stood silent in the face of His accusers.
Now, in the pre-dawn darkness of night, in a garden, the One who was before all things is betrayed.
The bread of life is broken.
This One who is the brightness of God's glory endures the shame of the cross and is laid in a grave.
The sky grows dark in sorrow, for the sun is gone and night falls on a different world.
Oh, surely He carried our sorrows,
was pierced for our transgressions,
and crushed for our iniquities.
And the price for our redemption was paid on the cross that He carried.
Of the skull, which is called Golgotha. There they crucified Him, and with Him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle.
Redemption that stretches on Calvary's tree.
sweetest mercy, robed in shame, he paid the price that took my blame. My life now sealed by sacrifice, the bread, the wine, the awful price. A broken heart was his reward, my death poured out upon my Lord. A seed laid down to die alone, to win my heart to be his own.
See how the Son, the resurrected one, conquers sin by removing for all time the sting of death. Never will we be alone again, adrift without hope, for Jesus Christ has laid down his glory and joined us to himself.
Fix our eyes upon
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. This is foundational to those who embrace the work of the cross.
For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ must still be dead. And if he is still dead, then all our preaching is useless, and your trust in God is empty, worthless, hopeless.
Yet our trust is full, for he is worthy, and he brings us hope. In securing victory over hell and the grave, Jesus made it possible for us to belong to him.
Not only that, he gave us the gift of his presence. How can that be?
Because he chooses to live in us, he becomes our hope of the glory to come.
We celebrate his unbounding love, we praise him for his grace and mercy, and we are overwhelmed at the promise, God with us.
We never should be.
God is with us. That means that we are His dwelling place.
Do you not know that you are God's sanctuary and that the Spirit of God has His home within you?
He inhabits us. He inhabits our praise. He beckons us to come and listen to His voice, to ask Him to prepare our hearts and minds for the sacred union He offers.
Come, let us join as one to give Him total praise.
Thank you.
all of our praise. We thank you for your love revealed to us in a bloodstained cross and an empty tomb. And to God, our Father who resides in heaven, we speak your holy name in awe and reverence. We pray that your kingdom will come and that your will may be done throughout your creation. We ask you for blessing and provision. We pray that we will extend mercy toward others that is pleasing to you. Give us strength to seek your ways and protect us from the evil that surrounds us. We know that all of this is your gift to us through the work of your Son, the risen Christ, our Lord. We praise you, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, no. Wow. What else do you say? Wow. Praise the Lord. Amen. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. There is no other. There never will be another. He's the only one. Okay, so if you're looking for another way, I want to go ahead and tell you there is no other way. There's one Lord. His name's Jesus Christ. He's now seated on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. And one day he's coming back and we're really going to have a celebration. Now we celebrate because he rose from the grave. Now I want to, what I've got on my heart, I'm going to get right into it. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, we're not having service tonight. So if we take a little bit longer this morning, it'll be all right. There's food waiting on you. I know you're thinking about it already. But let's just have a meeting this morning in God's house. Amen. I want to try my best to bring to you what's on my heart. And this is what I begin to, and I begin to listen to them practicing here. And this is what come to me. It's the reason we sing on Celebration Sunday. It's Resurrection Sunday. You know, we can call it a lot of different things, but he rose from the grave. And that's why we're able to be here. Now, if he had just died on the cross, he'd just be like all the others. You know, it'd be hard to separate him from Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius or any of the others. But he rose from the grave. And that's why we're here this morning. Now, I want to read some scripture to you. I'm going to ask you, if you would, just to stand one time for one reading of scripture. And then we'll pray and I'll let you be seated. And all the other, we'll just try to follow the Lord. But I want to read this scripture out of Psalms chapter number 66. And we've already done this morning. But here's what it says. It says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name and make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee, and they shall sing to thy name, Selah. Then I want to go over to one more place in Psalms chapter number 95 and read verse number 1 through number 3. It says, O come and let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for letting us be in your house today. Lord, I thank you for this great singing. Lord, as we sat and we listened and we saw what you're doing and how you're being magnified, God, we're just excited. We're excited to be in your house and be able to get here today together with our families and our friends to celebrate the fact that although you went to the cross for us and you died for our sins, just like you said, you came out. And because you live, Lord, we can live. And God, we praise you today. We just lift you up and we give you all the honor and all the glory. And Lord, if there's one here this morning that is not assured, Lord, that they're saved by your grace, Lord, would you speak to their heart this morning? And God, let them know that surely this life is passing, that it won't last forever, but you've made a way that we may be able to have eternal life. We praise you. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, the reason we sing on Resurrection Sunday, and I want to mention this, and then we're going to get into the resurrection. But I want to tell you something of why we can sing as we come into the house this morning. We can sing because our sin debt has been paid. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. Because of what Jesus Christ did for us is he went to a cross and he died like a criminal between two thieves so that you and I would be able to have our sin debt forgiven. And as I begin to think about this message, and I want to tell you something. You know, Brother Keith, we were talking this morning before service, and he asked me about a song. And I said, you know, there ain't many that you're going to mention, I don't know. And I sat down and I began to think about what God would have me to preach. And, you know, scripture started coming. But I want to tell you something else that started coming to me is songs. It's just one right after another started coming to me. And I began to think about the fact that we can celebrate because our sins are forgiven. Amen. And this song actually came to me. It says, my sins are gone. It says, you ask why I'm so happy. Well, I'll just tell you why. Y'all remember that one? Because My sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. There's scripture to go with these songs. It says, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. You know why we sing these songs? We sing them because we're happy about what God has done for us. See, I sing because I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm glad that I am not lost and on my way to hell. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's what the Bible says. I'll tell you something else the Bible says. The Bible says where there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. People say, I just don't understand that way. Well, I can tell you something. Two things for certain. You're going to pay taxes or they're going to come looking for you. And it doesn't matter how good your doctor is. It doesn't matter how much you exercise. One day you're going to die. My son, he's into this fitness. And I was too when I was his age. And I told him there's a scripture verse in the Bible that says, exercise profiteth little. And y'all know it. Some of you know it's in there. I got my little iPad over here. I can show you if you don't believe me after church. But you know, you can exercise. You can do your best. You can go to the doctor. You can eat all that healthy stuff you want to. But one day you're going to die. And you're going to stand before God. Romans chapter 5. I love this scripture in verse number 6. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Well, what does that mean? There's some people, just the truth is, you love more than others. And there's some people you'll care for more than others. And you might be willing to give your life for your children. But when you were at your worst state, God looked down from heaven and he said, I love that one. He didn't pick the best, he picked the worst, and he took everything you've ever done. Every past sin, present sin, future sin, he died on the cross for it. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You might want to underline that in your Bible. It says, Christ died for us. It says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. If you notice right outside the foyer and out in front of the church, there are some crosses that are decorated with flowers. And we were here yesterday and they were putting the flowers in, getting the cross ready, a service we call decorating of the cross. And I was listening to some of the ladies talking and training some of the others that maybe hadn't decorated the cross before. And they said, we put the red roses and we only put the red flowers where the blood would have been. And they had the arms out and they put the red roses on this side. And they put the red roses on this side. And they come down and they put the red roses where they drove them through his feet. And you know, you could put some red roses where they pierced his side. But it was because of his love for us that he bled and died on the cross. And if we're justified, we're not justified by our works. We're not justified by our goodness. We're not justified because we dressed up to come to the church on Sunday morning. We're justified by his blood. Thank God. Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift. That's something else that you can underline. You see, what the Bible teaches us is that God created Adam. And then he created a wife that was suitable for him. And he put them in a garden and it was perfect. And thing was perfect there. And then sin came and Satan came tempting. And because of Adam's sin, all men become sinners. You see, you're either going to believe that and believe that God's creator and believe God's word. Or you're going to believe that you come from nothing. Just some cosmic soup that some little critter crawled out of. And when it got out, it began to flip and it began to move. And all of a sudden it sprouted and it changed. It takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe this book. Because of Adam's sin, the Bible says all men became sinners. And because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says that all men can be forgiven. So we sing and we celebrate this morning because of what Jesus did. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, when he was there and he was nearing the end, and his life was about to be snuffed out of this body, he cried out, "It is finished." And when he cried out, "It is finished," here's what it means for you and I. Everything that needs to be done that you might be able to have eternal life, it's been completed. There's nothing else. It's not Jesus and this. You know, a lot of people today, they think it's Jesus and. It's not Jesus and. It's Jesus, Jesus, and just more Jesus, because there's nothing you can do to merit the favor of God, because God is holy. You know why we sing? We sing because it is finished. It's finished. The work on the cross is finished. I want to tell you why else we sing. We sing because the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. You know, one thing that we can say as Christians, he's not like the other gods. He's not like the other religions. And they say, well, you know, some people say, well, the resurrection is just a story that just gradually grew up. Do you know that the critics have set out to disprove the resurrection? But I want to tell you something. And here's why today people have almost quit writing about it. Because every time an atheist sets out to disprove the resurrection, if they have the intellect to understand what it means when they put something on trial, many times they set out to disprove it, but they become Christians themselves. There's a book entitled, "Who Moved the Stone?" It's written by a man who set out to disprove the resurrection, but he said it was like an island that was guarded by great barrier reefs. He said every time you come at it from whatever different direction, you realize that it's impenetrable and there's nothing you can do to discredit what the Word of God says. You just have to reject it. He said, when I begin to examine the evidence, I could reject it no longer. You see what the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 28, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week," which is Sunday, it says, "came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. For the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Now I begin to think about this, and you know, the reason we sing. There's a song that my wife and I used to sing years ago, you know, just standing around with a guitar and singing, and this was the song. Sometimes in youth choir, I can remember when I was just a youth. And the name of the song is Gone. That's the name of it. It says, "Mary went into the tomb of Jesus. The stone was moved and he had gone away. The angel said, Fear not, I know whom seek ye, but he is risen. This she heard them say." Then it says, "Gone, the stone is rolled back. Gone, the tomb is empty. Gone to sit at the Father's side. Gone over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, he lives forevermore." Now, I begin to think about that song, and I couldn't help it. You know, sometimes when I begin to sit down and study, I want to tell you, it's a blessing to me. It's because I just sat down there and God begins to reveal things to me and he begins to show things to me and I get excited about what God has done. You see, when I look at the reason we sing because the tomb is empty. Do you know that the scripture tells us in the book of Acts that death could not hold him? And it also, you go down and it said that corruption could not touch him. That he did not see corruption. It's almost like Satan looking at death and corruption and says, "I want you to go wrap yourself around him and I want you to go decay him." But it couldn't happen because he is the darling Son of God and he said he would rise and he rose. Amen. In Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, do you know that because he rose, we have hope? Because he rose, we have life. You know, some people believe that, well, this is what I've heard them say. Well, when I die, I'm just going to be like a German shepherd. They're going to put me in the ground and I'm just going to be gone. Well, you need to read God's word. You have a body. We have a body, okay? The body's cursed. That's why I can't do the things I used to do. I want to tell you, that's why I got up this morning, my knees were popping, and I got two Motrin, and I sat down out there on the bench, Brother Billy, before I come in here, because I get so excited sometimes preaching, I wear myself out, and I go home on Sunday afternoon, and I need a nap, because the body's decaying, but the spirit's alive, and you have a soul that God gave you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because He lives, we can live. You've heard of the story of Lazarus where Jesus was standing there and, you know, even when he's 4 days late, he's right on time, right? And he shows up and he says, show me the place where you've laid him. And he goes and he cries, Lazarus, come forth. Do you know if he'd have cried, children, come forth, there'd been a whole lot more. And one day he's going to cry, children, come forth. And I want you to know something. We're going to live eternally with the Lord in one place or another. You see, we can sing because the mockers are silenced. You see, there's the story that's even in God's Word. What the soldiers were told, the Roman soldiers, by the way, you tell them that while you were asleep, his disciples came. And they stole away the body and they took him. And then they come up with this story where 11 men of meager means and diverse births could have agreed together to come up with this plot that they're going to trick the entire world into godliness. You know, that story is still reported to this day, but I want to give you some thoughts. In the entire history of jurisprudence, there has never under any circumstances been a witness who was allowed to testify to what happened while he was asleep. Now these were Roman soldiers, and for a Roman soldier to fall asleep on guard duty meant the death penalty, and that penalty would have been harshly carried out. Now these disciples who supposedly come up with this plan that they were going to deceive the world into believing that Jesus was the Son of God and change the world forever, what happened to them? You see, either Jesus rose from the dead and he was who he was, or the greatest scheme that ever occurred happened. Some of you remember Watergate? When that happened, you know what people were doing? They were running over here. They were giving the testimony. They were running over here. They were giving the deposition. Everybody was trying to save themselves. But what happened to these men? History tells us that Andrew died on an X-shaped cross because he felt unworthy. He requested not to die on the same cross as Christ. Bartholomew was flayed alive with knives in India. James was beheaded by Herod in 44 AD, the first of the disciples to become a martyr. James the Younger, or James the Lesser, was crucified in Egypt and sawn in pieces. John was banished to the Isle of Patmos. He was beaten to a cripple, and they attempted to poison him. Jude, or Judas, or Thaddeus, was killed with arrows in Ararat. Matthew was martyred in Ethiopia. Peter was crucified upside down because he requested not to be crucified as his Lord was. He didn't feel worthy. Philip died by hanging, and he asked to be wrapped in papyrus and not linen. Simon the Zealot was crucified. And Thomas, also called Didymus, was killed with a spear in India. So if you're going to believe that it was just a fraud, you have to really begin to examine. How did these 11 men all cling to it? Well, here's what I believe happened. You see, the Bible tells us that he showed himself alive unto them with many infallible truths. And when he came to them and they saw him walking and talking and fulfilling and telling them, I've risen as I said. It encouraged those who were weak like Peter, who just a few days before had fled from a little girl and denied him with a curse, to go on the day of Pentecost and preach the word of God with power so that many thousands could be saved. And to answer when he was questioned, it's better to obey God than men. Amen. Then there is the hallucination theory. It's almost like this. We're just hallucinating. We're not really here. Now, how could it be that so many, in one place he showed himself to over 500. Did they all see the same hallucination? Or was it Jesus? Did he walk in among them? You know, when he walked with them and their hearts did burn and they were on the road to Emmaus and the stranger, as they thought, met with them. And then when they went into the house and he took the bread and he broke it in front of them and their eyes were open, they realized that it was the Lord. Then the scripture says he vanished. And they began to question. And he said, is it a spirit? And Jesus said, a spirit has not flesh and blood. You know, the scripture teaches us we're going to have a new body. One like unto Christ. Now, I don't know all about it, but here's one thing I believe. We're going to be satisfied. Oh, we're going to be satisfied. Then there's the twin brother theory. I just want to say ha ha. The twin brother theory. Oh, he had a twin brother. That's what they saw. Then this one here. The swoon theory. You know what some teach, and this is actually not that old of a theory. They say that Jesus, when he was on the cross, he just passed out. And when they took him into the tomb and they laid him in the tomb with the cool air of the tomb, he revived. Now, I want to stop here for just a minute. I want you to think about some things. When Jesus was on the cross, the Roman executioner came with the big club. And they were going to break the legs because in crucifixion what happens is a person begins to sag down because they can't retain any strength. And in order to exhale, Jesus would have had to push himself up with the spikes through his feet, tearing through the flesh to let air get out of his lungs. They broke the legs of the man on this side. And they broke the legs of the man on this side so that they wouldn't hang until the next day. But the scripture says when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. Do you know that the scripture prophesied or it foretold that not one of his bones would be broken? Amen. That's just scripture being fulfilled. Then what about the Roman soldier who came to make sure he was dead and pierced his side? The scripture says that forthwith came blood and water. You see, what had happened is Jesus had already died and the white blood vessels and the red blood vessels had to separate and the blood began to break into its original constituent elements. And forthwith came blood and water, because when a person dies, all the remaining blood, what little he might have had because he shed it all for you and me, was gathered in the pericardium, the sac around his heart. And when they pierced his side and the white blood vessels and the red blood vessels ran forth, what are people going to say if they believe he swooned? Then they took him and they laid him in a borrowed tomb. But they wrapped him with linens. It was mummy-like. They would go round and round the body. And what I studied, they would take 100 pounds of spices and it would go all around the eyes and around the nose and into the ears. Now for Jesus to have swooned and somehow gotten all that stuff off. But here's what I think happened. I believe when they went in and they beheld the place where the Lord lay, I believe those clothes were laying there just like a mummy. But there wasn't any body inside. They looked and there was a red stain at the feet, and there was a red stain where his hands were, and there was a red stain here, and there was a red stain there. But they were laying, but there was no body because he rose just like he said. But think about this. His hands were torn with spikes. And would have walked up to this stone that weighs tons and would have took those torn hands and rolled that stone out of the way. Then he would have had to walk on those feet that were torn from the spikes being through them. After he overcame a Roman guard, he would have had to walk 14 miles to Emmaus and back, and that would get him in shape for his walk to Palestine, where he would climb a mountain. All the while convincing the disciples that he was the Prince of Life. It's ridiculous. See, the truth is, there is no evidence that can come against what we believe, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so we sing because the tomb is empty. Amen. Amen. We sing because we're forgiven. We sing because the tomb is empty. We sing because He lives. And here's the thing I want you to understand. Because He lives, life has purpose. And they're going to sing that song here at the end of the message, but think of the words if you know it. It says, because He lives. It said, God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. It says, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. But this is the part I wanted to get to. It says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. Now all this stuff I've preached up to this point, it's exciting. I'm forgiven, praise God. I'm forgiven. He's rose from the grave, praise God. But you're going to go to work tomorrow. You're going to face problems tomorrow. And you're going to have life. And I want you to know that you can face it because He lives. Amen. You see, I can face tomorrow because He lives. That's something to sing about. All the things that I'm going to face, what I'm going to have to do, what you're going to have to do. We celebrate, we rejoice. But some of you may have it on your mind already about problems. Like me, I sit here and I'm getting ready to preach and I'm reminded that I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and drive to Charlotte, North Carolina to see angry customers. Praise God. But you know why I can go? I tell you why I can go. Because I never go anywhere that He doesn't go with me. Because He lives, all fear is gone. You see, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, for God hath not given us, and here, listen to this, the spirit of fear. But what has He given us? Power, love, and a sound mind. And it's kind of like this, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is available to you and I. We're living in a day and age today where people don't believe God can do what the Bible says God can do. But God wants right now, He's just looking for somebody that's willing to listen and accept it so He can show out. Maybe the reason God's not doing anything is every time He does it, you say, look what I did. It ain't about you, it's about Him. Because He lives, life has purpose. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. I love this verse. It says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And then this, because He lives, life has purpose. Folks, life's not in vain. And here's what I don't understand about somebody that doesn't know God or have a relationship with God. If you believe what you say you believe, your life's vain. Nothing you do matters. Because if you believe you come from nothing, it turned into something. When you die, everything you did is gone. Every memory you have is gone. Nothing matters if you don't have a relationship with God. But because He lives, my life's not vain. Everything that I do today, it matters for today, and it matters for eternity. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. That's right after the verses that we read that talked about the fact that grave has no victory. Amen. And there's no sting in death because He lives. And because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Well, why do I sing? because I can face tomorrow. Because no matter what I face, I'll face it with my Lord. Amen? Then the last one. The reason we sing on Resurrection Sunday. You know, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, but I want to tell you, we sing because there is a great day coming. There's a great day coming. Now, Easter's a great day. It's a great day that we can gather here and we can rejoice. But folks, I don't believe it's too far out in front of us. It's going to be a great day. Yeah. You know, and I'm listening for the trumpet. I'm listening for the sound. Sometimes I watch the news and I just go outside and do this. I'm looking for him to come and I'm wondering where he's at. Because all the signs are lining up. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 9. It says, and when he had spoken these things, speaking of Jesus. It says, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him up out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, it says, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You know what people say? They say, well, I've heard that preached all my life and he ain't come yet. He's coming. The Bible says in the last days many will run to and fro and knowledge will be increased. It's increased, folks. You get your new cell phone, you might not, your time you get figured out how to program it, there's going to be a better one, okay? You go buy a new car. We bought a new car not long ago. They were trying to sell me this, you know, this warranty plan. I said, I don't need that. I said, does the car have a good reputation? He said, yeah, but it's got 9 computers in it. And I'm thinking, what? What happened to roll-up windows? And a distributor cap and points when, you know, guys like me could work on a car. Folks, 100 years ago, they rode horses to church. They had outside plumbing, and they didn't have cell phones. And they eat real food. There's a lot of things happened in the past 100 years. 1948, the Jews went home. Can I tell you, sometimes I wonder, what did preachers preach in 1925? You know, preachers today need to have faith. They really needed to have faith. Yeah. Because the Jews were scattered all over the world. And they were wondering how in the world the Scripture was going to be fulfilled. Folks, I'm telling you, God's getting things lined up for the return of Christ. Amen. This is the song that came to my heart. And I'd like for y'all to learn to sing this one if you can. You know, I say that. It's just another one of my favorite songs, okay? Says, I believe he's coming back like he said. Says, I believe the time is nearing. We'll soon see his appearing. Oh, this could be the hour. Yes, this could be the day. When the saints of every nation shall lose their gravitation in the middle of the air, be called away. Says, and I believe he's coming back like he said. I believe the trumpet's going to sound so loud one day it'll wake the dead. In the twinkling of an eye, he'll split the eastern sky. And I believe he's coming back, just like he said. You see, here's why we can sing. We can sing because Jesus Christ is going to return. And over in 1 Thessalonians, what does it say? It says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. We have hope. We have a promise that was given unto us. We will see him in his power. Now they sang this song and they got to the end of it. Crown him, crown him. They practiced that so long and they got it, did a great job. But I want to tell you something. When he returns, you say, well, I don't believe all that. Let me tell you what's going to happen, okay? When he returns, we're going to see him. The Bible says every eye is going to see. It's going to be a sound that I believe all the Christians are going to recognize. And the world that's lost, they're going to be looking around. They're going to be trying to figure out what's going on. But I want to tell you something it says. It says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know what it also says in Revelation? It says they're going to run. and they're going to try to hide in the rocks and the mountains. They're going to look for a place that will hide them from the Lamb. See, when he comes, the Scripture says he's going to have on him this name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And can I tell you, there'll be no army stand against him. There'll be no evil that can stand up against him. There'll be no one that does not bow before him. We sing because there is a great day coming. I'm glad that I'm saved. See, I've chose to bow now. I chose to bow when he spoke to my heart. See, as born again believers, we're going to have a great reunion. See, when I see the Lord, and they showed some pictures up here. And sometimes, you know, when we try to envision what Christ looks like or what it's going to be like, it's hard for us now. Bible says we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But here's something I want you to understand. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you've been made alive spiritually. When you know, see him, you'll know him. You'll recognize him. Because the Spirit's going to bear witness, and you're going to come to the place that you realize no matter what anybody says or what anybody does, that's God. I want to bow today. I want to ask him to stand and sing, because he lives. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. You know, one thing I like about this church, and I think this is the most important thing, most important part of a service, is if you're here and you have anything in your heart that you'd like to pray about, what a great time. On Resurrection Sunday, that we can come into the house of the Lord and we can have God speak to us and our hearts. And God can help us with whatever problems we have. As they sing this song, this will be our last song unless God does something else. Would you stand to your feet? And if you feel like praying, these altars are open. Of course, these altars are always open, and this is the most important thing. You know, it might be the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, and it might just be, as I said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I don't know what you're facing, but God does. Now, I'll tell you something, just because I'm up here preaching, doesn't mean I'm immune to that. I have to ask God to help me. Help me with the things that I'm facing in life. Help me as I try to raise my children. Help me to be a better husband. Help me to do a better job at work. Help me, Lord, when I get to my limit and I still need to keep going to know how. Because you can't. You can't do it by yourself. If God spoke to anybody's heart as they sang, this is the opportunity to pray. Amen.